Amen and amen. My heart is so full right now from being here to see all of you today, to be a part of this baby dedication, to be part of that baptism with Jared, and then to be able to speak God's word with you and reconnect with our beloved church family. It's amazing. I just want to, before I preach, I just want to stop and say thank you. Thank you for being such a wonderful body of believers who are eternal family to me and my wife. My kids are in Texas right now visiting our oldest son, so they want to say hi too. I wanted to say during the baby dedication to David and Caitlin, what a special treat it is for them to be able to raise their kids here at this place, because my wife and I have raised our children here, and they went all the way through our grade school here at Rogue Valley Adventist Academy and are part of this Medford Church family. And I wouldn't change that for the world. This place, there's nothing like it. And we are so grateful. You are the ones who make it what it is. And we just want to say from the bottom of our heart, we love you. And we'll always love you. And we're so grateful that we get to be family eternally. And there's a great reunion coming. Praise God. Well, today's sermon is entitled, May Our Major Never Become Minor. When I say the terms major and minor, what does that come to mind? What does that bring to mind? What does that conjure up for you in your brain? Music, right? Which I really know nothing about. I am not extraordinarily musically inclined, but there's some major and minor notes. I don't know what I'm looking at when I see that. Maybe you think of baseball, right? Majors and minors. You got the major leagues, you got the minor leagues. I know a little more about that. I never played baseball, but I am definitely a big fan and am a spectator of that sport. But I really had nothing to do much with either of those subjects. What I am bringing up to you today is something that I have experienced with majors and minors, and that is college. So I did go to college and got a little bit to where I understood majors and minors. If you went to college, what was your major? If you're going to college soon, what will your major be? In case you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain it. A major in college, in your undergraduate studies, is your primary field of study, where most of your core classes will be focused in, and it also usually shows up on the degree you receive at the end of your time in college when you graduate. The term major and minors first came into being at Johns Hopkins University back in the 1800s, matter of fact, 1877, in their catalog for students. It showed up, and it was a two-year program to receive your major back then. Wouldn't that be nice today? Now we know it's 4 years, so twice as long on average. How important is a major? While a major doesn't guarantee us success, it definitely helps, especially if you get it in the right fields. If you want to make a lot of money, it's good to be in the field of STEM majors, which means science, technology, engineering, or math. Statistics show that majors in those four fields usually garner higher wages, but we know, of course, that making a lot of money doesn't guarantee success in life overall. Everybody wants to pick the right major and usually has a little bit of angst behind it. What will be the right one for you? What is that field of study that is going to launch us into the best realm of success for our life? And it's that time of year. If you're a student who just graduated high school, you might be in the throes of thinking about, what are you going to study as a major in college? Is there anyone who just graduated high school that's brave enough to raise their hands, is going into college? Okay, back here. All right, I'm sure you're thinking about it. If you are thinking about it, I thought it'd be fun to look at some of the interesting majors that are developing out there, just to kind of spur your imagination. If anyone's thinking about going back to school, I'm going to throw up a few majors on the screen. in case you want to go back and do some more learning. So let me just give you a few interesting fields of study that are out there today. How about artificial intelligence? This is a major that has been ongoing now for a few years, but it's really gaining popularity in the last year or two. Artificial intelligence, with the emergence of ChatGPT, conversations about artificial intelligence and the impact to our workforce has been endless. While artificial intelligence isn't a new major, it's certainly becoming an area of rapid growth. Students will explore how complex inputs can be used to make decisions and enhance the human experience, as well as the ethical and social responsibilities of AI use. Now, no one's going to hold it against you if you don't choose AI as a major field of study. But if you do choose it, just know that AI might hold it against you one day in the future. I don't know, I'm just saying. So, all right. Another field of study is very interesting to me, and I found it online, is, see if I can get the clicker to move forward. I might be dying here on my battery. Okay, citrus. Did you know you get a major in citrus? Which I used to make runs every year here to Orland, California, and Osborne Oranges had the most beautiful, tasty oranges, and maybe you're still doing that each year. So that's maybe why it's exciting to me. Example courses in citrus include Introduction to Citrus, Citrus Grove Management, Soil Science, Plants and Society, and Plant Nutrition. After graduation, citrus majors can work at large citrus production companies, grove service companies, agricultural cooperatives, juice processing plants, agrochemical and fertilizer companies, and citrus research facilities. So suffice it to say, it's a really sweet major, right? Orange, you glad I talked to you about the citrus major? You knew that was coming, right? Come on. I can go all day, folks. Egyptology. Egyptology. We've heard of this major. I don't know how many people have actually gone into it that I know of, but I know it's been out there. Examples, courses include Imagining the Gods, Myths and Myth-Making in Ancient Mesopotamia, Ancient Babylonian Magic and Medicine, Ancient Scientific Texts, and Archaeology and Texts. Egyptology majors can find jobs as Egyptologists, historians, and specialized archaeologists. This is a major where you can really make your mummy proud. So, thank you very much. Okay, moving on. Packaging. Did you know packaging is a major? Yeah, and why not? This is a huge field. Packaging is an industry that is worth over $859 billion annually. You can receive a PhD in packaging even, and they say that you will be highly sought after at the end of your graduation there. They say it's really great, and you won't feel boxed in. So packaging is another one. One more. I'll just do one more. I'm sparing you. I'm sorry. One more. Family Enterprise is a really cool major. I wanted to share it with you because lots of families own a business and look to perpetuate it with their children and grandchildren. Example courses of family enterprise include personal, professional, and leadership development, managerial issues in family enterprise ownership, and case studies in family business. After graduation, family enterprise majors will be able to run their family business, become a family business owner, or work for a family business enterprise as a professional advisor. Yeah. I really didn't have one for this one, by the way, but I did hear of a family that started a business on how to tie better shoelaces. It's a real not-for-profit that they've started together, so look into it. So if you have a passion for something, know that there is probably a major for you out there. Something that really speaks to your interest. But today I am interested in more than just talking to you about undergraduate curriculum. I really want to talk to you today about the curriculum of Jesus Christ that we're all being called to be a part of. And I believe that he is calling us to take a close look at what should be, again, our major field of study as Christians. And what is that? It's the gospel. The gospel isn't just our major as Christians. It's our mission. And Paul is clear about this in the New Testament. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to turn there, I'll have it on the screen. But I'm a little notorious for having small letters up there and long passages. So if you want to look in your Bible, you'll see it a little easier, especially if you have eyes like mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 4, Paul talks about it, and here's what he says. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul makes it perfectly clear that our major and our mission is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the message that has saved us. And it's so important that we firmly hold on to it always. Do you remember when you were young and you would go to your birthday party and you would have your friends gathered around you? And do you remember at your birthday party when you would receive like the best gift, that prized gift? And do you remember how excited you would be when you would get this gift? And the eyes of all your friends who would see that gift also as a very prized possession. And maybe in my mind's eye, I remember holding this gift up in front of all of the other friends of mine who were there. When I held that prized gift up and everyone was excited about it, did I let it dangle between my fingers in front of them? Or did I grasp it firmly as I held it up in front of them? And why did I grasp it firmly? Because I knew that it would be snatched out of my hand by anyone around me because they wanted to see that present just as badly as I did. When we have a prized possession like the gospel that means everything, we clutch it. We should clutch it and hold it as tight as humanly possible, anticipating that someone or something or anyone will want to take it away. Hold on to it, Paul says. He wants us to treat this gospel as a priceless treasure in our lives. Always, everything hinges on this major of ours as Christians. And this is major. The gospel should never be minor. What is the gospel, by the way? Let's just do a little crash course again in it. The word gospel literally means, it's euangelion in Greek, literally translated, good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus coming to this world, dying for our sins, and then conquering death and rising from the dead. It's simply wonderful. God so loved the world that even though we were lost in our sins and all of our wrongdoings, Jesus still came. He took on all of our sins and wrongdoings. He died with them on the cross to pay the penalty of all of those sins and wrongdoings and faced eternal separation from the Father, dying what was to be an eternal death. But the grave couldn't hold him. And he is alive. And because of his resurrection, we also have the promise of future resurrection. Death is no longer our enemy because we have such a friend in Jesus. Amen? The gospel is good news. It's the best news. And this is our major. always. But Pastor Michael, why are you so worried about telling us this and reminding us that the gospel is our major? Because the way the world is right now, I think it's easy to lose sight of what is most important to us. What is our major? I want you to hear what I'm about to say in such a way that I'm going to repeat it so that it just hopefully will stick throughout this sermon today. When we focus on the bad news more than the good news, then we know we are allowing our major to become minor. When we focus on the bad news more than the good news, then we know we are allowing our major to become minor. There are evils and dangers lurking everywhere, around every corner today. And it's easy to become captivated by those, even steamrolled and bulldozed by all that's reportedly bad out there. Is our calling to gather everyone we can together to talk about all those negatives and to commiserate on all of those negatives? Or are we being called to gather everyone together, as the New Testament is telling us to do, to talk about all that is good as it is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When we focus on the bad news more than the good news, we know that we're allowing our major to become minor. I'd like to consider Jesus' ministry for us here this morning. He is our true case study as Christians, always. He's our supreme teacher. He's our magnificent model. What did Jesus spend the majority of his time doing when he was on earth? He was healing. He was teaching. He was talking about how to love God and our neighbor more. And yes, sometimes he would offer a rebuke. And often, most often when that was happening, he was talking and rebuking because that person was maybe not loving God or loving their neighbor very well in what they were doing. The lion's share of what he did was going around telling people about God, the Heavenly Father, and his love for them. Peter witnessed to the household of Cornelius in the book of Acts. He's sharing the gospel. And listen to how Peter encapsulates Jesus' ministry. Here's how he says it in Acts chapter 10, 37 and 38. It says, "You know, Cornelius," he's talking to, "what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. How he went around doing what? Good." Peter is sharing the gospel here. One of the earliest mentions of sharing the gospel and how it was shared, highlighting the fact that Jesus went around doing good. The gospels say there's not enough books in the world to contain all the wonderful things that he did. Peter's bringing the message of good news here because this is the gospel literally. It's good news. There was plenty of darkness in the world at the time of Jesus that he could have talked about. Tons of it. I mean, think about who was in control of the world at the time of Jesus. It was Rome. Here's a picture of when he was taken into custody, Pilate. Rome, think about Rome. It was a government who leaned heavily on the power of the hands of the Caesar. Caesar had so much power that there was a large faction of Rome that even elevated him to being a god himself. Rome was all about military might, strength, squelching out any form of resistance that would come, doing that quickly. The Jews, how did they feel about the Romans? By and large, they despised them, as we No, there were zealots, and their Sicarii knives they would stick in the backs of the soldiers when they weren't looking. They were always dreaming of the day that they would have redemption and liberation and ultimate freedom from Rome. But let me ask you, how often did Jesus talk about Rome in his ministry? I can think of one instance talking about paying taxes. That's a topic that comes up quite often among us still today. He talked about it once that I can think of that really stands out. There were other topics besides Rome that were worth mentioning and talking about, you would think. There was infant mortality, life expectancy issues, there was poverty, there were conspiracies galore, there were extremes on both sides of liberals and conservatives, there were social injustices that were taking place of the day, and the list goes on and on. Yet Jesus was most concerned in his ministry to reveal the forgiveness that was being freely offered to us by God the Father and a new birth into the kingdom of his love. Ellen White said what I believe to be a very profound statement in a letter that she wrote in 1898. She said this, she said, "The silence of Christ on many subjects is true eloquence." Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not trying to say that we need to ignore the problems of the world today, but I am imploring us, starting with myself, to be aware of how important these problems are to me in comparison to the gospel mission. When we focus on the bad news more than the good news, then we know we are allowing our major to become minor. If we keep all these problems as minor in comparison to our major, then I think that we're going to find ourselves in the sweet spot of our spirituality. Our major is the gospel. Our headmaster is Jesus Christ, and he's our supreme teacher, and the best one we could ever imagine. Now, have you ever heard about the person who has the most majors, the most degrees? I looked it up online because I wanted to find out. I looked at, it's called collegevine.com, and they report the individual that they believe that has garnered the most degrees that we know of. His name is Michael Nicholson of Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's reported that he has now earned over 30 degrees. He has over 23 master's degrees, by the way. This amazing feat took him more than 50 years to accomplish. He began in 1963. His fields of study are very broad and diverse, as you can imagine, covering everything from educational leadership to library science. Michael Nicholson says he has no intention to stop learning. He is going to continue to study and gain new degrees as quickly as he possibly can because he loves learning. Now, I used to feel pretty smart sometimes before I ran across Michael Nicholson. I've got 3 degrees, and I thought, that's great. Man, I'm doing well. He has 10 times the number of degrees I've got. Unbelievable. But you know, there's someone who has not just 10 times more the knowledge and the ability to teach us than even Michael Nicholson has. He, again, is the God who holds all wisdom and can hold the entire universe together in an amazing way. He wields his power so well. He holds billions of worlds and entire galaxies in perfect balance. Yet he has the wherewithal to hear all about my day every day if I choose to tell it to him that day. The sad fact is that I get sidetracked quite a bit with my own abilities and intellect, and I start to think that I can juggle a lot on my plate, and I can handle all that. when last couple weeks, again, it reminded me, I cannot. I'm not very good at doing that. The world today can remind us quickly in the information age that we can get overloaded and overwhelmed to the point quickly where we just feel like we're over it all. What a better time is there to recenter ourselves in what is most important? And that again is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is good news. It is fantastic news. It's the best news that we could ever allow to captivate our minds for eternity. God came in the flesh, showed us how wonderfully kind and amazing He truly is, took all of our punishment on His shoulders, died for our sins, overcame those sins and conquered the grave, and promises to come again and end all of the death and the destruction and the darkness in this world once and for all. This is the message that is truly worth majoring in. Amen. Amen. Jesus wants to send us out into the world with this message of good news for everybody today. This is the message. This is the message that will see us through all the dark times that are in this world to come and already are here. And it also comes with a promise. Matthew 24:10-14, Jesus says about these end times. Says, at that time, many will turn, talking about the end times, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. I'm seeing a lot of that today. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, the whole world, as a testimony to all nations. And that promise is, then the end will come. The message to take to the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how we stand firm. And yes, maybe it sounds too simple to really believe that this is really what the focus should be. But what my contention today is that it is just too often simply being ignored. It's all too easy for our major to become our minor these days. Another fun fact about college majors includes switching majors. How many switched their majors during the course of their college career? I did too. Yeah, thank you. I switched my major my junior year because I went from business to religion to theology. Why did I switch majors? Well, because Jesus was doing something profound in my life. I was finally reading the Bible for myself. I was reading the Gospels, as a matter of fact, and my life turned upside down when I was doing that. I not only switched college majors, I switched the major in my life to be all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I came face to face with Jesus, I had this profound encounter with the risen Savior, and I knew in my gut that my major just was not right, and everything changed. I want to ask you this morning to examine your life today. Is your gut saying that you need to change majors? Maybe God has never been more than something than just minor in your life. I don't know. Maybe that's where you are. But isn't something inside of you saying that you need to change majors potentially? Whatever you focused on in the past that just has not been quite delivering everything that you thought it would initially. Maybe there's something greater that's out there for you. And I want to ask you to please open up your heart to the idea that the gospel is that great calling on your life. It is worth captivating your mind and attention and energy and affection. It's worth studying and sharing and living and breathing. It's good news. It's the best news. And sharing it leads to the greatest event this world will ever witness. And that is the second coming of Jesus Christ, as again, he promised in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world and as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. You see, when we switch majors to the gospel, then we are guaranteed to graduate. In closing, with all this talk about majors and minors, I wanted to talk about how our educational system rose to be what it is today in America. Did you know the phenomenon of education for the masses we owe to the Protestant Reformation? In colonial America, I want to give you a statistic. Of the first 123 colleges in this country, all but one was a Christian institution. Out of the first 123 colleges built in America, in colonial America, all but one was a Christian institution. That's a staggering statistic, isn't it? Take, for example, Harvard. It was one of those. Did you know Harvard's been in the news quite a bit lately? Harvard, do you know what the founding statement is for Harvard, or was for Harvard? I want to read it to you. I'll have it up on the screen. Their founding statement is, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." John 17:3. That's a pretty impressive statement, isn't it? And it goes right along with what we're talking about today in the sermon. That is the gospel. Harvard, at its inception, was preaching the gospel. But oh, how easy it is for our major to become minor throughout our life. Now, it's been said that a minor can complement your major. Let's go back to talking about majors and minors in college. For those who don't know, a minor is a secondary field of study, and it can be a very beneficial thing to do. It can complement your major. It can help give you a more well-rounded discipline with another field of study. It's fewer classes than your major field of study. Your minor in school can be used strategically to give you a competitive edge by demonstrating a well-rounded set of interests. Is there anything wrong with taking a minor in college? No. It's a wonderful thing. Everyone applauds that. There is nothing wrong with minor fields of study. There's nothing inherently evil about that. Do you hear me today? Minor fields of study are not evil. Minors can be good. But beware. Spiritually speaking, let minors stay minors. They're called minors for a reason. Nothing in this world outside of the gospel is going to positively bless our lives the way the gospel does eternally. So talk about your minors. Yes, that's fine. Study those. That's great. Whatever your interests are, that's okay. But just remember, when we focus on the bad news more than the good news, then we know that we are allowing our major to become our minor. And so to help us, because I know how easy it is from letting our major become our minor, and how easy it is to grow increasingly negative instead of positive, I want to suggest something to you to take home and use. The next time you're passionately, any of us are passionately speaking about our minor fields of study, our minor interests, and maybe they're taking us to that passionate place where we're getting really negative about that, you know, and it's just maybe not in a healthy direction. How about adding something like this to the end of that conversation? Hey, but how about that gospel, right? But hey, how about that gospel? And say it with a smile. Saying something like that conveys to the person listening to us that we haven't forgotten what our major truly is. The gospel is such good news that it overrides all the negative in this world. And soon we will ride out of this world and straight into that heavenly kingdom promised. And if we're having trouble talking too much about those negatives, those minors that turn us negative, how about doing like Jesus and maybe taking a little bit of a vow of silence on them for a while, on occasion? You know what I mean? It can truly be eloquence at times. I need to learn more of how to be silent the way Jesus was on certain matters. I want to learn that too. When we focus on the bad news more than the good news, then we know we are allowing our major to become minor. We have a gospel mission. Let this stay our major always. Because the graduation rate is astounding, and the payoff, well, it's out of this world. God bless you all. Will you stand with me for a benediction today? Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have called us to a gospel focus, a gospel major, a gospel mission, because your gospel is all about fantastic news. Lord, I pray that all of us will be inspired by the power of your Holy Spirit to go out into the world this week and let positivity reign. Help us to funnel attention back to that wonderful news of salvation as it is found, King Jesus, in you. And Lord, may it be so infectious we have to tell everyone about it, so that all the darkness and difficulties of this world will grow strangely dim in everyone's view as we behold your glory and also fix our minds on what is called our blessed hope. And that is your ultimate and imminent return soon in all your glory. Lord, I cannot wait to behold your glory with all my friends and family here. And Lord, for us to be transformed together into that glory that you've called us to be a part of for eternity as family. Bless us, please, to this end. We dedicate our hearts to you again today. Maybe someone here needs to ask for forgiveness. I know I do, for allowing my major to become minor on occasion. May it not be anymore, Lord. We love you. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Thank you.